All right, and thank you to anyone listening in on our podcast. I am your host, John Larsen, and I'm a PhD student here at DTU Compute in the section of algorithms, logic, and graphs. And with me is...
Andres Tocupinti, so I'm a PhD student at the same section. I started recently, like 2 months ago, and yeah, I'm very happy to join the podcast.
Thank you. And
I'm Anas Stichkron, and I'm a PhD student here as well, and I'm also very excited to be in on the podcast.
Awesome. And you have been a PhD student for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, 1.5 years now.
Yeah, so you're halfway there.
Yes, that's right.
And we're going to talk a little bit about our projects, starting with your project, Andres.
Yeah.
What is it about?
All right. So our goal is to build agents that can learn by themselves action descriptions from experience. So for example, we might have something like a warehouse, and we have some boxes in this warehouse, right? And we want those agents to be able to move the boxes around and put them in a certain configuration that we care about, right? And what you do traditionally is you say, all right, so we have a warehouse. So let's write down a complete description of this warehouse, how many boxes are in there, how many robots do we have to carry boxes around, and what are the actions that those robots can do in the warehouse to move the boxes around, things like maybe grasping a box or pushing a box, things like that. And then we use the descriptions we have of the actions to decide what should be performed by each robot so that we can achieve the goals we have. And our goal is to have the agents explore this environment and learn by themselves how they can achieve the goals that they have. So instead of telling them, this is how you push a box, this is how you grasp a box, what we want is to throw them in the warehouse and say, all right, now play around with the boxes and learn by yourself how you can push a box, how you can grasp a box, and things like that.
Oh yeah, so you can just put it in somewhere and then it would learn by itself how the world works, right? And
exactly.
Find a solution.
Exactly.
Sure. I think we're going to move on to the next project
now.
It's a very interesting project. I think it's very related to what we also work on. Mm-hmm. So I can almost pick up on this because I also worked with this artificial intelligence and agents. But I'm a little bit more messy than what you're working at, I think, because like you still work in a very like nicely defined domain, right? Mm-hmm. With you do want to learn from the real world, but it's still with robots, right? It's still machines you're, whereas I'm kind of trying to see how we can use this logic to model how humans behave.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my project, we want to simulate the emergency department at a hospital with logic. So humans, it's not that we think that humans necessarily behave as these logic rules demanded, but we would like to make some kind of approximation to say, if you have this rough approximation of how humans behave, do we have an idea of what is going to happen in this emergency department?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's still in the same same area, but it's applied to this real world situation, which I think is pretty interesting,
mm-hmm.
with logical approaches as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And Anas,
yeah,
you're almost the most clean logic person group, I feel.
Yeah, so what I do is I prove theorems about logical systems and algorithms. And I do this using a tool called Isabel, and it's a proof assistant, so it's a computer program that can help me conduct the proofs. So it can help in two ways. It can do parts of the proofs automatically. That's nice. Then I don't have to do anything, but only parts of the proof, right? And then it can also help in another way, in that when you write your proof, then it checks that all the steps you're doing are correct.
Right.
That's the basic idea. And there are some success stories of this approach. So proof assistants like Isabel have been used to verify operating systems. They've been used to prove properties of various algorithms like merge sort, Dijkstra's algorithm, stuff like that, or completenesses, theorems of proof systems, and so on. And there's also like cool theorems like four-color theorem and Kepler conjecture. They have been proven in proof assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Proof assistance, they are a ton of fun because you're sitting you're sitting at your computer, right? And you set up a goal, I want to prove this thing. And then the computer asks you, oh, how do you want to prove it? And then you tell it, yeah, I want to do induction, or I don't know, a direct proof, a proof by contradiction, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then it tells you, well, if you want to do this, then you should start from here and end your proof here. And then maybe sometimes you see, okay, this is actually pretty simple. Maybe the computer can do the proof for me. Then you just ask it, try to prove it, right? And
yeah.
Maybe it will succeed, and then you're happy. Or maybe it will fail, and then you need to elaborate on the proof to help it. Yeah, and it's tons of fun.
That's a big motivation. So I think we're gonna have a break now here.
Yeah.
And gonna grab ourselves something to drink, refreshen ourselves as we need, and we'll be back in a moment. Right, so we are back now with the final part of the podcast. Yeah, so you do try to relate it to some real-world applications, right?
Okay, say you want to prove a four-color theorem, right? So people have been trying to prove this for many years, right? And in 1876 or something like that, some guy said, haha, I have the proof, right?
Mm.
And the mathematicians were happy for 20 years, and then they found out, okay, this proof actually has some flaws in it, and we are not ready to accept it anymore, right? So people have been keep trying to prove this theorem, tons of clever mathematicians, but it wasn't until the 1970s that someone thought, let's throw a computer at this problem, right? And and then they managed to prove it. And back then they combined. I mean, they had a completely loose combination of computer proof and main proof, right? One part of the proof was computer-based, one part was in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2005, I think, someone put it all into the computer. So now it's completely contained proof in the computer, right? And this is kind of cool because then you have a small program that you can read and understand. That's the prover, and it's a very simple program, and this simple program can check the proof of the four-color theorem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And the four-color theorem itself, its proof is much too large for one mathematician to comprehend, but he can maybe comprehend the program that checks the proof, and then,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe he'll be happy.
Yeah. It's kind of relevant to the stuff that everyone in this department, maybe every entire department, but at least this section are doing, because we do work on algorithms
and
logic. And in our group in particular, like the three of us.
Yeah, I think I can relate a lot to, for example, the work that Anas does, because even though it sounds like the application domains are very remote, I think part of the motivations are shared. So in his case, in the way I understand it, you have the problem that people are, well, they have limited abilities to prove stuff, but they also are error prone, right? They make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you want is to get as many good verified proofs as you can, and you want to achieve that by coming up with programs that can at least assist people in proving, if not even relieve us of the need of proving at least some parts of big proofs.
Yeah, actually I like the idea that it assists people, because I think proving is fun, right?
Yeah,
so I wouldn't necessarily love a world where computers did all of it, right?
Yes.
But I like a world where I have I get help from the computer.
Yes.
And it's
an assistant.
It's me. Yeah, it should be an assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it probably is not. It's a bit difficult to expect them to completely replace humans.
Yeah.
At least part of the aspects of proof finding and problem definition that have to do with being creative and thinking of new problems.
Yeah.
Those maybe cannot be automatized yet. But as I said, I think it links a bit with, for example, my project, because we have the same. We have humans with limited information and that are error prone. And in my case, they want to build descriptions of planning domains and of actions that you can execute in those domains. And when we have them do that, then sometimes the models are not as good as they could be, or they take quite some time to construct. So again, what we want is to assist people that use planning platforms by giving the agents some extra capability to refine those models or construct some parts of those models based on the experience they have of the environment.
So maybe you can tell it to do some, you want it to achieve some goal, but you don't want to tell it all the details of how to
exactly
achieve.
That's the agent system in a nutshell.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like maybe they have to do 10 actions, but you just don't want to specify how the 10 actions work exactly in all different kind of specific conditions of the environment. You want them to help you out by learning parts of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's I think my approach to proof assistance and how we use it is a little different, because in our case it's more focused on the underlying algorithms rather than what we are actually simulating. I mean, because we're simulating humans, so we can't actually use a proof assistant on a human, but we can use proof assistants on the underlying logics that we use to simulate these agents acting as humans, because none of that has been verified for in a proof assistant. But if we do that, then we have this kind of a certification that the framework that we use, it is sound. That's pretty strong result to have.
Yeah, I guess you sort of model humans, right? You say assume that a human behaves slightly like this. And I guess like in all science, or at least almost all science, your model is maybe not going to be perfect, right? But it's going to be good enough.
Right.
And then you say, okay, let's say we believe in this model, then this stuff will happen, right?
Yeah, and we want to compare what it predicts with what we see in the real world. I mean, we want to have these event logs from the hospital. So if we have the model predict something at a certain time and we have the actual event log that says what happened, then we can measure some kind of difference between what did it predict compared to what happened.
I guess the methodology in that regard is very similar to how physicists work, right?
In a sense, it's a little experimental in that sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also some learning involved, but at least we would like to do that, because just like you said before, I mean, making a model of a whole organization, especially for a very concrete hospital department, is really complicated. So we would like to make this simple model of how the hospital look at themselves, like how do they determine these roles in the department, and then see if we can learn something from that. So say if we have this system that runs and it looks at the event logs that they generate, can it adjust itself to the actual department? All right, so we're gonna finish off now. I would like to thank anyone who listened in on this podcast, and I would like to thank you too for being here with me. It was a pleasure to talk with you. And
thank you.
Yeah. And it's going to be available at least for the PhD Bazaar here at DTU Compute, which is in May 10th, as I remember. We might also put it up somewhere else before that. So if you're listening in now, maybe it means that we figured out a way to do that. All right. And It was a lot of nerdy talk, so if there's anything that people would like to ask us about this, they can write me. You can write me at jobla@dtu.dk. That is jobla@dtu.dk with questions that you have. And if anything, I would at least look at them, might write back. Maybe me and Andres will make another podcast.
Yes, that would be great. It
would be quite fun, I think.
Yes, I think so.
All right. Well, that's it. So thank you for now.